Well, today is, as you well know, as we've been singing about, as we've been talking about, today is Resurrection Day. And it is the day that we as a culture set aside as this one special day of the year. You know, the church set aside every day, first day of the week, a long time ago, by the way. But we set, in our culture this one day to highlight it even more. Highlight what? Highlight the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. And not just that he's risen, but that he's risen never to return. You know, he's still alive and he always will. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory, ruling and reigning. And he's just waiting for the time to come back according to the Father's perfect plan to bring judgment upon the wicked and then to bring his people, his saints, to glory, to set up his perfect rule and reign forever. This is our Jesus whom we come to worship and praise and remember and celebrate the resurrection of Christ today. Now, as you think about that, you know, as I think about that, there's a question that comes to mind. At least I think it ought to come to mind at some point. And that is, why? What do I mean? I mean, why do we remember and celebrate the resurrection like we do? Why is it so important that we would treat it this way? The answer to this question is very important. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you don't know the answer to that question, your remembrance and celebration of the resurrection today will be very lacking, won't it? It'll just be very ritualistic. It'll be very cold. It'll be just do. This is what we do. So we come to do it. We put in our time. I want you to understand that's vanity. Your worship will be lacking. So this question and its answer is very important. So because of that, you know, I and today at least want to attempt to answer that question in part. There's so much more to this than I can get done in a sermon, but I want to answer it in part. I want to answer why do we celebrate the resurrection the way we do? Why is it important? And I want to stop there. As we look, I'm going to look at three reasons why we set it apart, why we celebrate, why we remember it the way we do. But then as we look at those three reasons, I want you to understand as we get to the end of them that if we'll really believe and put our faith in those reasons and we trust that, that that's actually going to help orient us as a Christian. What I mean is, you know, there are certain ways we're tempted as Christians to get off the path, to get off the path of faith and follow Christ rightly. Well, every one of these, if we'll remember, will actually help orient us in a way back to the right path. So if we don't want to just know them, to know Him, we want to know Him and to worship, and not just know Him to worship, but to actually be able to follow Him in faith. These are all very important. So many reasons, I think, and pray, is beneficial to understand why we celebrate, why we remember the resurrection of Christ. Now, if you can't already tell, you know, the way I approach the sermon will be slightly different than what I usually do. What I mean is simply this, is I don't have one passage that I'm going to preach solely from. Still going to be expositional in nature. Just going to have several verses to look at. And specifically, each reason will come with its own verse or verses that we will examine, right, and find our points from. So I just want to give you a heads up of what I'm doing, where I'm going this morning, because it's just different, okay? So let's get to it. What are the reasons why the resurrection is important? Well, the first reason I want you to see is this, is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that Jesus is both Lord and God. That is highly important to understand. Now, you can look at Romans 1:4. I'm going to read that for you. That's the first verse I want you to look at. Very important verse. In reference to Christ, this is who Paul's writing about and speaking about in this verse. He says this, Christ, who was declared the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's this verse clearly saying? Well, it's clearly saying that Jesus Christ, because of this act, this phenomenon of the resurrection from the dead, this proved or showed us undeniable evidence that Jesus Christ is both Lord and God. Why? Why is that true? We got to connect the dots. How does this prove Him to be Lord and God? Well, it's because we know that only God has this kind of power. What power? Well, what did the verse say? It was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection. So we're talking about the power to bring life out of death. That's the kind of... Only God has power over life and death, and only God has the power to bring life out of death. And so Jesus being brought out of death into life showed himself to be the Son of God or God. And listen, if he's God, he's by default Lord. Because our God is our authority. And therefore he has complete lordship over our life. That's why he declared himself to be Lord and God. So you understand, you see that by the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, he showed he had power over life and death. And by showing he has power over life and death, he has showed himself to be both Lord and God. Now there's another verse I want just to think about for just a moment with this. It kind of illustrates the truth I just exposited. It's John chapter 20 and verse 28. Now, before I read the verse, what's going on in the context? With John chapter 20, Jesus comes and reveals himself for the very first time since his resurrection to the apostles who were locked up in the upper room. Do you remember that they're still in fear because Jesus has been crucified, and they don't know what to do, so they're all locked up. Jesus comes and reveals himself for the first time and shows himself that he has risen from the dead. But there was somebody not there. You remember who that was? It was Thomas. And so after the fact, Jesus had come and gone, Thomas comes in, and apostles say, Thomas, you'll never understand and believe this, but we've seen Jesus, he is alive. And what's he say? And no, I'm not going to believe that. I'll believe it when I, what? See it. I've got to put my fingers in the nail holes. I've got to put my hand in the side before I'll believe that one. What does Jesus do? Thomas got what he deserved. He got judgment right then and there. You understand that? Oh, but Jesus is full of mercy and grace. And he shows up again. And he tells Thomas, he said, oh, Thomas, come here. Take your hand, put it in the holes in my hands, and come again, put your hand in my side. And he says, what? Be not unbelieving, but be believing. Now, how did Thomas respond to that? John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Why did Thomas respond that way? Well, because the resurrection of Christ that was proven without a shadow of a doubt to him in that moment truly revealed to Thomas that Jesus was both Lord and God. There was no question. Jesus, you have risen from the grave. You are Lord and God. And he rightfully bowed before him and declared this truth. This is what I want you to understand, is the resurrection of Christ is so important because it shows without a shadow of a doubt to anybody with a sane mind that he's both Lord and he's both God. Now, the skeptic and the scoffer and the doubting mind might say, well, what about these other people that have been raised from the grave? Does that prove that they're both Lord and God as well? You know, there is Lazarus and there's the widow of Nain's son and others in the scriptures. Well, we know, the answer to that is absolutely not. Well, why not? Well, there's differences between Christ's resurrection and theirs. A couple of big differences. One big difference is that Christ declared beforehand that he would raise himself from the dead. He said, as the good shepherd, he said, I have authority over my life. I have authority to do what? Lay it down. I have authority to take it up. He declared beforehand, I'm going to do this. And he said, I have the power to do it. All these others said no such thing. And as they were raised, it was clearly seen it wasn't by their power they were raised, but by whose? By Christ's power. Jesus raised Lazarus. Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son. Even Peter and Paul, who both raised someone from the dead, did it by whose power? The power of Jesus Christ. Even all those who rose from the grave after his resurrection, remember the tombs emptied there around Jerusalem and they went into town and everybody saw them? What was that by? It was an overflow of the power of Jesus' resurrection. It wasn't by their power. There was a big difference. Second big difference. All those others that have been raised, where are they now? They're in the grave. They have returned to death. Where's Jesus? He's still alive and will always be alive. A huge difference. Jesus is risen, never, ever, ever to return to the grave, showing himself to be the Son of God with power. Now we come to the question that we must ask at this point. So what? So what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves him to be Lord and God. Well, there's a lot of answers to that question. But let me give you just two, very similar. The first one is this. If Jesus Christ has proven himself to be Lord and God, that means we can trust every word he has ever said or ever will say. If he is both Lord and God, that means his word's absolute truth, because God only speaks truth, because God himself is truth. It's impossible for God to lie. Jesus has proven himself to be God. Therefore, every word he's ever spoken is truth, and we can trust it. We have no reason to doubt any, and that includes the words in red, of course, in the New Testament that he spoke while he was on earth, but it includes all of Scriptures. Why? Jesus himself declared the whole Scriptures to be his word, the word of God. So we can trust it all, including and especially the promises, right, that if we repent of our sins and trust in him, we'll be what? We'll be forgiven of our sins, and we'll be saved, and we'll live with him forever, and we too shall have eternal life. We can trust all that. Why? Because he's risen from the grave and proven himself to be God without a shadow of a doubt. Trust everything he's ever said. That's one reason that it matters. Secondly, very close, but there's a difference. Because Jesus has proven himself to be Lord and God by rising from the dead, we must trust and obey everything he said. Remember I said, if he's God, he is Lord by default. And as Lord, that means he has absolute authority over us. And therefore, it is only right to submit to his word and trust and obey everything he ever says against us, and understand when we don't, we are in sin against God. And we have turned. This is important. Because one day we're all going to stand before our Lord and our God and know very well without a shadow of a doubt that he is in complete authority. So therefore, understand, because he rose from the grave and because he showed himself to be Lord and God, we must submit and trust everything he tells us. Now, why do I point that out this morning? Well, I want to point it out for two big reasons. Number one, I want to point it out to the unbelievers here this morning. I've just shown you from the Scriptures that Jesus Christ, because he has risen from the grave, the most historically recorded fact in all of history, cannot be disproven, has been tried to be disproven for 2,000 years, by the way. Just shown you how that proves him to be Lord and God. And therefore, you have no excuse not to hear his command and his call to repent of your sins and bow the knee and trust him. I speak to all of you here this morning. You know Jesus is God. You know this. No matter how much you try to rationalize yourself away from it, you know it. And so now this being brought out and amplified here this morning, right? It even amplifies that call in your heart even more. I want you to hear the call of Christ and know and not reject what you know to be true. Don't play the fool. The Scriptures call unbelievers fools. Because why would you not do the only thing that can bring you hope of salvation and eternal life? Why would you turn away from that? Proof is undeniable. He's both Lord and God, and therefore he calls for you to repent and trust in him. Hear that call this morning. He's the only hope of salvation. Trust him. Number two, the second reason I point this out is for believers. We often need to be reminded of the Lord's lordship. Why? Because we often get off the path. This is the reorientation. We get off the path. You know, even Brother even kind of talked about a little bit about it in Sunday school about how we live a lot of our life just forgetting to consider the Lord. Why? We're living our own life. We're doing our own thing. We're called to be like Christ. How did Christ live? He only did the will of the Father. This is what it looks like to live under the lordship of Christ, to only do the will of the Father or the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're not reminded of this truth, we're not serving rightly. You know who we serve when we're not living in that knowledge and faith of that truth? We serve ourselves. We become God and Lord in that moment. And what I want you to understand is that the resurrection proves that Jesus is God and Lord. Then that should remind us all here this morning, He has complete authority and we are to subject every part of our life to Him, because we're not our own. He's bought us with a price. We are to live in lordship, under the lordship of Jesus. And this should remind you here this morning, because Jesus declared Himself to be Lord without a shadow of a doubt. So trust Him. Don't serve yourself, serve Him. That's the first reason. What's the second reason we would find the resurrection of Christ to be important and therefore celebrate and remember it? Well, it's because the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that our sins are completely paid for. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that our sins are completely, don't miss that word, paid for. Now I'm going to start here by looking at a passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down. Now listen, he offered the sacrifice and then he sat down. Now how did he do that? He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until His enemies be made a footstool for His feet. For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Side note, I just can't skip that. Notice, those who are being saved are those who are being sanctified. They're equal. Just see that again in Scripture over and over. So, what does this passage tell? Well, it tells us that Jesus, when He offered Himself up as a sacrifice for sin, which is what He did, He accomplished what all the sacrifices made by all the priests throughout all times never could accomplish. And what's that? The complete payment for the sins of His people. They were done. And how do we know that that payment was done? Well, He was able to proceed to the right hand of the Father and take a seat, a position of ceasing from His work, a position of rest. Why? Because His work was done. So this shows that the work of paying for sins was done. And what's implied in that is, once He offered Himself up as a sacrifice, we know He died. Well, how did He go from death to sitting at the right hand of the Father? What's implied in between there is the resurrection. Now, I know that's not enough to hook these two, so I want to give you one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Paul saying, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." Why? You are still in your sins. You see the link now? There is a direct link between the resurrection of Christ and you being in your sins or not. If Christ is raised, you're not in your sins. If Christ is not raised, you are in your sins. How is this true? Well, it comes to have to do with what the Scriptures tell us is the wages of sin. What are the wages? What do we earn for our sin? Death. Well, what kind of death? Physical death? Well, that's included, but it's really way more than that. It's the spiritual death, which means suffering the wrath of God forever in the lake of fire. That's the payment we owe for sins. It's an eternal wrath of God. That's the payment, beloved, that Jesus went to pay when He went to the cross. You understand that? He went to pay the eternal debt that we all owe to this holy God. So He went and offered Himself up on the cross so that He could pay the payment of an eternal death, of suffering the wrath of God eternally. Well, if Jesus is going to pay that, He's got to pay part of it or all of it. He's got to pay it all. You understand? You know that we sing the song, "Jesus paid it all." He's got to get to the end of it. And praise the Lord, He did. He cried out, "It is finished." His work is finished, right? How do we know He paid it all? Because he rose from the grave. If he hadn't paid for it all, guess where he'd be? He'd still be in the grave, still making payment. And you know what that would mean for you and I? That'd mean we still had a debt to owe. Even if Jesus paid 98% of our debt, you know, or 99%, that 1% is still owed, and that 1% is still eternal wrath from God. But because Jesus rose from the grave, he proved once and for all, I've paid it all. Why? Because death's done. I came to the end of death, and I now live. And so his living, understand, proves to us that our sin debt is paid in full. Whose sin debt? All Jesus said, if you'll repent of your sins and believe on me, you'll be forgiven. So it's all those who repent and believe on him, his people, the ones whom the Father would give to him. All those who would believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. Those are the ones that your sins are completely paid for. So what? Right? That's a big so what. I could give you a whole list, but let me just give you three. One, this goes directly back to the worship. Just the understanding of that fact, that Jesus has paid my sin debt in full and is gone, I don't have to concern myself with it anymore, ought to stir up much worship in you. You know, it should be something we're praising God for all week long. And when we come in here together, I can't contain you for all the worship that you want to give to God. And if you come in and you're missing it. That's my grief. Yeah, it's not about me and what I want. It's about I'm grieved. Where's your worship of the Lord? You're missing your salvation and the joy of it and the truth of it. Do you hear me? Understand what's been done for you. An eternal wrath has been taken in full, and you're now forgiven, and you never have to worry about condemnation again, and you've got the hope of being with Jesus forever. My goodness, this place that ought to contain the joy that comes out of us. If we really get that, that's what will take place. That's one. Number two, I go to the unbelievers again. You ought to see this and tremble with fear. You want to know why? Because you're still in your sins. And you know what that means for you? You're going to have to take down the entire wrath of God for eternity in the lake of fire forever if you don't know Jesus. Because there's nobody else to pay it for you except you. And you won't come to the end of it. You can't. You will endure it forever. So you ought to turn now in great fear and trembling and repent of those sins and trust Jesus as the only means to the payment for your sins. Don't let your heart rationalize this away. Don't let the devil come and steal the seeds of the gospel here. There's no greater good news ever or ever will be. It's the greatest news ever, and it should be proclaimed. Hear me, lost people. This is your hope. It's been done. He just says, repent and believe. Turn in faith. Cast your soul and your sins upon Jesus, the one who sacrificed himself for you. Repent and believe the gospel. This is the call. And three, it's for us believers again, right? You know, so we get off the path. How do we get off the path? We get off the path by trusting wrongly. We not only serve wrongly, we trust wrong. What do I mean? What is our temptation as a believer to do as we live our life out before God? Our temptation is to see God's favor upon us being based in our obedience. If I do this, God will be pleased. If I don't do this, that he doesn't want me, God will be pleased. If I don't, he's mad at me. And what we're doing, we're living out work salvation. We say we believe, but then we're tempted to go, oh no, it's based on me, right? And you know, I'm not saying BS doesn't matter. It does. It's evidence of the Spirit of God. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. You won't earn a drop of your salvation. I know this is a temptation because I talk to people. I know my own heart. Those of you who are willing to reveal your heart, you reveal that, hey, we all struggle with this. You know, I was talking with my wife, and she was talking about meeting a lady that we used to go to church with for a long time. And she just, as far as I know, she's been in church for years and years and years and years. A church that preaches the gospel. But, you know, she's up in years now, and she testified, you know, I know it's Jesus, but when I die, I just hope I've done enough. You hear that? People struggle with this because we get off the path. See the completion of your salvation in Jesus, and that He rose from the grave, and that proves it's done. You know what? That's past, present, and your future sins. Did you know that? That gives you no excuse to sin. If it does cause your heart to go, oh, yeah, then you doubt the Spirit's in you. Because if the Spirit's in you, it's always grieved by our sin. But our sins, if you're in Christ, there is therefore no what? Condemnation. Your sin's done. Trust in not your work, trust in Jesus' work. This is what we do when we trust Jesus. Lost people hear this, right? We actually take all our sins and put it on Christ and say, He paid for it, it's done, it's complete. There's my salvation. Therefore, when I go to heaven and I meet the Father, I have no fear of condemnation because I know Jesus has already taken care of it. And it's not based in me. It's based in Jesus. So this is why the resurrection is important. This frees us up from works righteousness, which is every other gospel, which are no gospels. If you hear a 1% works in a gospel being preached to you, you better run, because it'll damn you to hell. You better rest in the grace of God that says, I paid for it, I paid for it all, you just trust me. That's faith. Your faith is not a work to earn salvation. Your faith is trusting in a salvation that's already accomplished for you. That's number two. Third reason. Why is the resurrection important? Well, it's proof and a reminder that we too one day will be raised from the grave. John 4, I could go lots of places. Let me go John 14, 19. Listen to this little verse. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. He's talking to his disciples. But you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. Hear that. Well, what's going on in that verse? John chapter 14, the context is important. John chapter 14 and 15, 16, 17. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his crucifixion that's coming that night, right, the next day. It's the night of his arrest. And he's preparing them he's leaving. That's why he said, in a little while, worlds behold me no more. Why? He's getting ready to die on the cross. But then he says, but you'll behold me. You will again. Why? Because in 3 days he's going to rise from the grave. He's been telling them this. They don't get it. That's why if you read the disciples, they're going, what's he talking about? But this is, he's declaring truth that we know. He's 3 days he's going to be raised from again. But don't miss the little bit at the end when he says, because I live, you shall live also. Do you understand what that means? Jesus said, in me is life. And you're going to know that because I'm going to rise from the grave. And because I do, you will too. That's the same promise he gave Martha. The exact same promise he gave Martha in John chapter 11, verse 25, when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, what? Even if he dies. How's that possible? When I die, I die. Well, Jesus, who has power over life and death, has rose from the grave. He said, because life's in me. If you're in me, you'll have life too. And therefore, we have the promise that even if we die, we'll live again. We'll be raised from the grave, and we will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. This is our promise. This is what we get all excited about, isn't it, brothers and sisters? All right, this is it. We're going to be raised to life. Death's not going to conquer us. Sin's accomplished. That's what kills us, right? That payment's done. So, we get raised to life with Jesus because we're in Him. Not because of us, because we're in Jesus. God loves the Son. If we're in the Son, then He loves us by default. Do you understand that? We'll be raised to life. So what? Right? So what? Let me just give you two to close. Two quickies. If this is true, this means we should have no fear of death. We know this. It doesn't mean we won't be tempted to fear. We're all tempted to do all kinds of things. We'll be tempted to fear death, of course. You look at the grave, and as you get older, you go, ugh. There's the temptation. But what should we do? We should quickly remind ourselves of the truth of this and put our faith in it and go, that grave will have no hold on me. I'll be raised to life and spend eternity with Christ. There should be no fear of death to the believer. We should put the fear of death to death with the truth of the resurrection promise by Jesus our Savior. And we can trust that it's true. Why? He rose from the grave. He's God. It all connects. Oh, how this message is needed today. We're living in a world of fear. Everybody's afraid to die. Everybody's afraid. They're clinging to life, that the only life they've gotten is physical life. Oh, how we could be freed from this fear if we truly believe in the resurrection promise that because Christ lives, we live too. Period. That's number one. Number two, very quickly, this ought to remind us that this place is not our home. Just being reminded that the resurrection reminds us we'll be raised. Well, what's going to happen when we're raised? We're going to spend eternity in heaven. We're not going to live here. This world's broken. I want no part of it. Let's quit making our home here. Let's quit storing up treasures here, trying to get our comfort here, because this isn't our home. We're going to be raised, and we're going to live forever with Jesus in heaven. Let's make that our home. You know, brothers and sisters, let's together start laying up treasures in heaven and not here. Let's really believe that and therefore live our lives that way. Because the resurrection reminds us that we're not staying here. This is not my home. I have a city that I'm going for, a far country. It's far better than this. Let this reorient us, huh? This is where we get off the path. We're in this world and we start living for this world. This becomes our hope. Nobody's exempt from this, myself included. But it's being reminded of this that goes, oh, Tracy, wake up. Put this away. Live for me. That's all that matters. That's where we'll spend eternity if we're His. Let's live that way, by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the resurrection, oh, how glorious it is. Help us all to really get it, to really understand why it's so important. Oh, and there's so much more. Help us fully understand it, Lord. Cause us to bear fruit in our lives that we would be redirected. We're all going to get off the path. We're all sinners. We're still in a sinful old man. And, oh, we're so tempted to serve ourselves instead of you. Oh, we're so tempted to try to earn our favor before you instead of trusting Christ's work. And we're so tempted to put our hope in this world instead of in heaven. Lord, let the resurrection's truth bear fruit in our minds and hearts that keeps us from that. It brings repentance quickly so that we can live for you as you call us to. I pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.